Good morning. First, I want to thank Jason for taking my turns in preaching the past couple of weeks. We so appreciate his willingness. 4 weeks, went through West Texas, came into Cody, Wyoming, and then back home again. We saw some beautiful country. And I've got to show you the video of the bison that were snorting as they walked in front of my truck in Yellowstone Park. We were able to see one of our sons or daughter-in-law play and walk with our grandkids. And Tricia had an opportunity to work with two groups of very nice folks from the northwest part of the United States and enjoying their expanding of their knowledge about fiber art and hooking rugs. So while I drove all of those thousands of miles, Tricia spent a lot of time on her phone. She was working word puzzles, listening to one of her friends who was giving cooking lessons and sharing her recipes. She was scrolling through a lot of articles and stories about all sorts of things. And she found and shared this story with me. Our 14-year-old dog, Abby, died last month. The day after she passed away, my 4-year-old daughter, Meredith, was crying and talking about how much she missed Abby. She asked if we could write a letter to God so that when Abby got to heaven, God would recognize her. I told her that I thought we could, so she dictated these words. Dear God, will you please take care of my dog? She died yesterday and is with you in heaven. I miss her very much. I'm happy that you let me have her as my dog, even though she got sick. I hope you will play with her. She likes to swim and play with balls. I'm sending a picture of her, so when you see her, you will know that she is my dog. I really miss her. Love, Meredith. We put the letter in an envelope with a picture of Abby and Meredith and addressed it to God, heaven. We put our return address on it. Then Meredith pasted several stamps on the front of the envelope because she said it would probably take lots of stamps to get the letter all the way to heaven. That afternoon, we dropped it into the letterbox at the post office. And a few days later, she asked me if God had gotten the letter yet. I told her that I thought he had. Yesterday, there was a package wrapped in gold paper on our front porch, addressed to Meredith in a very unfamiliar hand. Meredith opened it, and inside was a book by Mr. Rogers called When a Pet Dies. Taped to the inside front cover was the letter that we had written to God in its opened envelope. On the opposite page were the picture of Abby and Meredith and this note. Dear Meredith, Abby arrived safely in heaven. Having the picture was a big help, and I recognized her right away. Abby isn't sick anymore. Her spirit is here with me, just like it stays in your heart. Abby loved being your dog. Since we don't need our bodies in heaven, I don't have any pockets to keep your picture in, so I'm sending it back to you in this little book for you to keep and to have something to remember Abby by. Thank you for the beautiful letter. And thank your mother for helping you write it and sending it to me. What a wonderful mother you have. I picked her especially for you. I send my blessings every day and remember that I love you very much. By the way, I'm fine. I am wherever there is love. Love God. I think that's a lovely, heartwarming story. And among all the other thoughts that are probably going on in your brain right now, you're wondering if there really are dogs, or cats for that matter, in heaven. Maybe you remember the animated children's film that came back in 1989 called All Dogs Go to Heaven. Remember that? It dealt with the theme of friendship and with redemption and even the ideal of an afterlife for dogs. So while we're on that subject for a brief moment, the Bible does not explicitly state whether there are animals in heaven. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me over to the 11th chapter of the book of Isaiah, beginning in verse 6, where it talks about the Lord gathering the remnant of his people at what appears to be the beginning of the judgment. It reads this way: "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lay down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea." Now you might turn all the way to the end, to the book of Revelation. In the fifth chapter, verse 11, it adds this: "And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such are all in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." So based on these two groups of verses here, some folks think that maybe there are animals in heaven. But as you read those carefully, I think those verses seem to address the earth more than they address heaven. And they're surely very symbolic, often interpreted allegorically. So the answer about whether there are cats or dogs in heaven really is unknown. But this morning I want you to focus on something else taken from this story about little Meredith and her dog that she lost. The person that put this story on Facebook said it was 100% true. And they ended it with a quote attributed to Arthur Henry James. He was a novelist, a literary critic. He explored the complexities of human psychology and social interactions, and he died over 100 years ago in 1960. But the quote was this: "Three things in human life are important. The first is to be kind. The second is to be kind. And the third is to be kind." This heartwarming story about Meredith and Abby is not just about her love of her pet. I think it's very much about the kindness of a stranger that sent the return letter supposedly from God and that gold-wrapped gift of a book. Surely the letter was not penned by God, but I think it is a very godly letter. And we don't know whether it was somebody at the post office where the letter was dropped that saw it and responded, or whether somehow it got passed along to another who just felt the need to respond. Whoever took the time and the effort to respond to Meredith showed an understanding of what that four-year-old was going through, showed some empathy and love. That person is my focus today, because I think that is a trait that is getting rarer and rarer in the world in which we live. And this story is a reminder to all of us that a little bit of kindness can really affect the life of another person. So I want to reflect for a few moments on the virtue of kindness, that it has the power to transform lives and to build bridges of compassion between individuals. We live in a world that is so often full of strife and division. And in that, kindness shines as a beacon of light, of hope, reminding us that our shared humanity and the potential for goodness that resides within each of us is common. What is the essence of kindness? If you got out your dictionary and you looked it up, kindness, simply put, is the practice of showing concern, consideration, and empathy towards another. We might recognize it as a friendly, warm smile, or a helping hand, a gentle word, or some selfless act. But it really, when you stand back, it transforms cultures, languages, religion, color of our skin, our politics, our social boundaries. It reminds us that we're all interconnected in this journey of life. The word from which we get kindness in its original Greek form is the same word from which we get the words kin or kindred, reminding us that we ought to treat others as we would like our family to be treated. We see glimpses of it. You walk through your daily life, someone holding the door open for someone who has a bunch of bags and they're struggling to walk with them, assisting an elderly person perhaps walking across the street, someone sending a heartfelt message, perhaps a note, a letter, a phone call, trying to help someone who is feeling down at the moment, going through a tough time in their life. Taking the time to generally just listen to somebody who wants to talk without passing judgment or interrupting. Kindness is being there for a friend, being there for one we love during difficult times. Sometimes it's a shoulder to cry on. Maybe it's words of encouragement. It's offering sincere compliments to someone about their appearance or about their qualities or their achievements. Kindness is showing respect and understanding towards people that have entirely different backgrounds, beliefs, opinions. Kindness can be just simple gestures like going through the fast food and saying, I'm going to buy whoever is in the car behind me their lunch. I can go on and on, but you know what the essence of kindness is when you see it. And more than that, you appreciate it when that kindness has been cast towards you. There is a commandment about kindness in Scripture. I mean, we could go back through history and all kinds of religious backgrounds and philosophical traditions. There's always been an emphasis upon being kind. But in the Christian faith, Jesus summed it all up when he said to love your neighbor as yourself. That encapsulates the essence of what kindness is. A call to treat others as you would like to be treated yourself. To extend grace and mercy to those that are around us. If you have your Bibles, over in the book of Ephesians in the 4th chapter, beginning in verse 31, Paul commanded believers to do this. He said, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Did you catch that? Be kind to one another. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24, at least in the NIV version, it says, be kind to everybody. Everybody. When we say the word kindness in Scripture, what comes to mind probably is, yes, it's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Paul talked about it in Galatians in the 5th chapter, beginning in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Kindness is right in the middle of that list. But he says it in another way over in the book of Colossians in chapter 3, beginning in verse 12. He says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. All of these verses have all kinds of virtues or characteristics that Christians ought to possess. So surely they're all interconnected. But among them, the Lord made a point of reminding us to be kind. Kindness is different than some of the others, at least in this regard. It has a ripple effect. When we're kind to someone, that person is more likely to be kind to someone else themselves. And it creates a chain reaction. You touch somebody positively, and they all go out and touch others positively. So it's kind of like this picture back here, a pebble dropped into a pond. The ripple effect continues outward and ever expands. You ever see the movie Pay It Forward? Back in the year 2000. Interesting movie. It was about a young boy whose name was Trevor McKinney. And as a part of his social studies assignment, he was supposed to go and find some idea that could change the world. That's what the social studies teacher said. So he decided that he was going to implement something that he did think would change the world. He was going to go out and find three people and do some act of kindness to them. And instead of them paying it back to him, they were to pay it forward to three other people. So it began. His first act of kindness was to an homeless man that was around his house. His name was Jerry. He invited Jerry to come and live in his garage, and Jerry didn't want to have anything to do with it. He resisted Trevor's help. But the persistence of that young boy and his kindness eventually led to a transformative experience for Jerry. If you saw the movie, you remember his mother, Arlene, played by Helen Hunt. And the social studies teacher was Eugene, played by Kevin Spacey. All of these people and others all had in their lives very personal struggles and traumas that they had to deal with from the past. But Trevor was persistent, and as the story unfolds, his ideal starts to have an impact on those around him. And people actually began to start paying forward acts of kindness, despite all the challenges and struggles they had in their life. At the end of the movie, Trevor dies. But the concept of impacting the lives of others through acts of kindness continued to. So what we need to realize is kindness is unique in that it has that ability. It can have a profound and lasting effect on individuals, society, the world as a whole. A ripple effect. So you try it this week. You go out and find three people and do three acts of kindness to them. Let's see what happens. But there's something else about kindness that's unique to it. It heals. Kindness is not just some surface-level gesture. It has a profound impact, not only upon the giver, but upon the receiver. I'm going to tell you something that few of you probably know about, except you gals out here that have to do with the medical field. But it's something that all of us crave. It's called the love hormone. Got your attention, didn't I? It's called oxytocin. It's a hormone, and they say it's a neuropeptide, whatever that is. and it plays a critical role in the various psychological and social functions in humans and in animals. Produced in the brain, emitted through the bloodstream, they say, from the posterior pituitary gland, and it has some very distinct functions in our life as humans. Social bonding and attachment. Oxytocin is known to play a very significant role in forming and strengthening social bonds between individuals. Mother-infant relationships enhanced by oxytocin. Childbirth and labor. Oxytocin stimulates the contractions of the uterus during labor and helps facilitate childbirth. It's also involved in the production of the release of milk and breastfeeding. It has emotional regulations. It's known to influence emotional responses, social behaviors, contributes to reducing your stress and anxiety levels, gives you a sense of calmness and relaxation. Studies suggest that oxytocin can enhance trust and cooperation in social interactions. It's linked to increased feelings of empathy and generosity and pro-social behavior. It's involved in forming and maintaining pair bonds between romantic partners. That chemistry you're talking about between a male and a female has a lot to do with oxytocin, they say. Hence, it's called the love hormone. Oxytocin is associated with nurturing behavior in parents and caregivers. It influences the maternal behavior, caregiving, protection of your offspring. And it's also linked to sexual arousal, orgasms, both males and females, released during the intimate physical contact of sexual activity. I'm sure all of that is a lot more than you wanted or needed to know. But I told you that so that you would know this. Studies show that when you are performing acts of kindness, you release oxytocin. That's why it feels good to help other people. You know, we live in a world of division and polarization, and sometimes all of that kind of overshadows our humanity. But kindness is a powerful tool to break down that, overcome those barriers. When we choose to be kind to somebody, then our differences seem to go away, and we share the fundamental emotions and desires that each of us have, and it draws us closer together. To truly embrace kindness, though, we have to cultivate it intentionally. It doesn't just happen. We have to decide to be kind to someone. And it's so easy to get caught up in the busyness of life that we just don't have time to look for the opportunities to help somebody else. But if we can slow down, be present in the moment, seize these opportunities, we can have a lasting effect on the person we help and society as a whole. Remember what the closing words were in Meredith's response letter from God? He said very simply, "I send my blessings every day and remember that I love you very much. By the way, I'm easy to find. I'm wherever there is love." That's a very profound statement. And so true. God is easy to find, and he's everywhere that there is love. This morning, as we reflect on the power of kindness, let us remember that when we do acts of kindness to others, we are very much acting in a godly manner. We're doing what Christians ought to do. This morning, we're going to sing the song of invitation. Christ invites you to come. through faith, through repentance of your sin, through confessing that you believe that Jesus is the Christ. If you need to be baptized, we can do that right now, this afternoon, anytime. To rise with the characteristics of God in Christ, among which is being kind to one another. Come with me.